This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone, and we're back with the final part of the story about the no-compromise gun movement. At the beginning of the hour, co-hosts Chris Haxell and Lisa Hagen posed the question, what could the Second Amendment possibly have to do with the coronavirus?
And I'm sorry.
This is a video of police officers and a group of angry moms in Idaho. It's April 2020, nearly a month into Governor Brad Little's statewide stay-at-home order. Schools are closed. Toilet paper sold out. We don't understand this coronavirus thing, and people are scared. And yet, these moms go to a playground in Meridian, Idaho, rip down some caution tape, and let their kids have at it.
The moms are basically daring police. Try to enforce the governor's order.
You're at the line of enforcement on an order that, quite frankly, is unconstitutional.
Okay, that's something to take up with the mayor and the parks director.
But you're enforcing it right now.
Yeah.
It's your choice. Right?
This goes on for a few minutes until one of the cops has had enough. He starts counting down from five. One mom sees her opening, turns away from the cop, lifts her arms behind her back and says, arrest me for being at the park.
Am I being arrested or detained?
She was arrested. Trespassing. The quarantine playground story makes national news.
Bingo. Just the thing you'd be going for if you happen to be, let's say, an anti-vaccination activist looking to rally opposition against this new form of medical tyranny. This woman,
am I arrested or detained?
Is Sarah Walton Brady. She runs Idahoans for Vaccine Freedom, a tiny Facebook group that shares theories about vaccinations and the pandemic.
As soon as Sarah got arrested, Door Brothers pal Greg Pruitt started live streaming.
Hey, everybody. Greg Pruitt here, president of the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance.
He told his followers she was just like any other American. Frustrated with this fresh wave of government overreach.
And we're going to go down and protest the arrest of Sarah Brady in front of the Meridian City Hall.
Meanwhile, folks on Reddit quickly tracked down Facebook posts that suggest it was a planned stunt with a name, the Tear the Tape Down event. Sarah Walton Brady has denied this.
Everybody's got a phone. Film them, put them on the record. We call it confrontational politics. No harm intended physically whatsoever. It's simply politics.
At least for our organizations, we are steeped in the digital age and the confrontational politics model where we...
The Door Brothers and their pals are all about confrontational politics.
An ideology and a set of tactics all laid out in a book written in the 90s by H.L. Richardson.
Here's Greg in Idaho.
And so I read Confrontational Politics, and it was just like a slap in the face, yep. Like, holy cow, we are doing this wrong, folks.
It turns out the Doors don't just practice confrontational politics. They're teachers. For years, a group called Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership,
or FACL,
has held seminars across the country. Over the years, you can see Aaron and Chris Doerr listed as official instructors, along with about a dozen other gun rights activists.
The way it works is people pay $40 or $50 to spend a day inside a meeting hall or hotel conference room, learning the same confrontational politics tactics the Doerrs use. The classes aren't really advertised outside far-right circles.
We asked if they'd let a reporter in, but never heard back. The seminars are open to the public, so I decided to just sign up like anyone else, with the understanding that if anyone asked, I would identify myself truthfully. I pulled up the faculty website and found a class scheduled the next day on the other side of Missouri near St. Louis. So the next morning, I pull into the parking lot of a church. There's a shoe propping open a door on the side of the building. So I walk in and find a friendly middle-aged woman sitting at one of those brown folding tables that every church seems to have.
Hi, how much is it?
It's $50 at the door.
I give her the cash, fill out some paperwork, and okay. I'm on my way.
Thank you. And now if you...
I slap the name tag on my shirt and scan the room. There's a PowerPoint slide on the projector that says everyone must turn off our cell phones. That's what I'm using to record, so off it goes. Okay, so a few hours after being told to turn off my phone, I'm free. I walk back out to the parking lot, my mind swimming in knowledge of confrontational politics. I hop in the car and call Lisa to tell her everything I can remember while it's still fresh. The guy came out, Joe Neville, talked about how he's from Colorado and he's a former political director for the National Association of Gun Rights and also worked with Rocky Mountain gun owners.
Those are more no-compromise groups, but not the ones the Door Brothers run.
Once we got started, the instructor explained his theory on education. The idea that gun rights activists just need to educate people about how the Second Amendment isn't about hunting, it's about stopping government tyranny. This education, he says, is pointless. He brings up the example of his own uncle, Ralph, who is a gun nut, but also belongs to the Meat Cutters Union, so he always votes Democrat. And he basically is like, if I can't even convince my own family to stop voting Democrat, then I'm not going to convince other people. So, like, education is just a rabbit hole that's not worth going down.
So if you're not trying to educate people, what are you...
Confrontational politics isn't about appealing to a broad group of people. It's about leveraging voter apathy to impose your will on society. Most people don't bother to vote, especially in primaries. The instructor said only about 24% of the population really matters. And then he was like, 8% of them are going to vote Democrat no matter what. 8% of them are going to vote Republican no matter what. 2% of them are going to vote for some random party no matter what or write-in candidate no matter what. So what's left? You got 6%.
Wow.
So really what you need is 3% plus one to win. To get your candidate or your issue, you need to find that 3% plus one, figure out where they are, figure out how to convince them to vote the way you want them to, and then you get it. And one of the biggest lessons of this class was how to know when you're getting under the skin of the legislators. It's good when they stop being nice and start ignoring you. It's even better if they start to threaten you. When this starts happening, this is when you double down. He's like, first you rejoice and then you double down. And this was when he did the call out. What, you know, he asked a question. What do you, if a politician does this, what do? Double down. If this happens and this happens, what do? Double down. Doubling down means never back down, never apologize, attack always. As long as you're smart about it. They have a tool for this called Red Fox 4. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Gun Owners of America and its offshoots have been teaching these classes for at least 20 years.
Confrontational politics is something a little different, something that people don't think about very much, especially conservatives, and it's the most...
This is Val Fennell with Gun Owners of America.
Face-to-face lobbying is virtually useless.
This footage is from 20 years ago. Looks like it's from an old camcorder, the kind parents used to film birthday parties in the 90s.
He says there are two strategies to get what you want out of politicians, and they're the same two I learned about in the class I went to. The first strategy is pleasure. Attack their enemies. Help them campaign.
The second thing the politicians will respond to, and is by far the most powerful force, is pain. Okay?
Elections are a great time to cause pain. The Doors and the gang love to brag about political graveyards come election time.
Dan Kirkbride, gone. Bill Pownell, gone. Michael Von Flatteren, gone. They are the spearhead of the anti-gun establishment here in Wyoming. Gone. They're gone. But before I...
What strikes me is this model of confrontational politics is really a blueprint for political insurgency. When you know you'll never have the majority on your side, aim lower. You can win with just 3% of the population, as long as you're dedicated. There are a lot of people in this country who love guns and support the Second Amendment. Even within that group, only a small minority supports this defiant, no-compromise position we see from the Doors. But when they follow the blueprint and get buy-in from a few people, they can accomplish a lot. When I went to the confrontational politics class, I was expecting the other attendees to be white guys, probably there to learn about guns. They were all white, but most of them were women, soccer mom types, there for the same cause as that activist at the playground in Idaho, medical freedom. In other words, they were anti-vaxxers.
These confrontational politics classes are happening all over the country. This group, Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership, has held about 50 this year in places like Melbourne, Florida,
Lewiston, Maine,
Big Lake, Alaska,
Glendale, Arizona. But the goal is not to make money. My class lasted all day and only cost $50, Jimmy John's lunch included.
The goal is to teach people how to build their own political organizations. After each class, attendees get a digital copy of the slides so they can spread the message too, in person or online.
Val Fennell recorded his class on a camcorder in the year 2000.
Politics, plain and simple, is the adjudication of power. Okay? It's who rules whom. Simple as that.
18 years later, we found another group learning the same lessons. White nationalists.
The goal is to change policy. And in order to change policy, you must possess power. And that's all politics is, the adjudication of power.
This is a webinar from Identity Europa, or IE for short. It's a group that helped organize the infamous Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Also, consider this top secret information. We don't want this getting out to other organizations. We don't want them to understand what we're doing.
Again, the exact same slides from the class I went to. Don't bother educating people. That's a waste of time. Except his example is not about guns.
So, let's teach Nancy Pelosi about the rightness of white nationalism.
Nancy Pelosi is not their target audience. This guy points to a poll that found 8% of Americans support white nationalism. Extrapolating that number, he says 30 million Americans are open to the group's racist ideas. Math is a little off, but the point still stands.
He brings up Red Fox 4. We said we'd explain it, and here you go. Pretty cool name, but it's basically just a tool for cost-benefit analysis.
So, here's an example. Creation of the ethnostate.
He explains how Red Fox 4 works, weighing the pros and cons of overt messaging about the creation of a white ethnostate. He says ideally it would happen, but it's best to hold off. The message is too extreme for now.
Instead, he says they should focus on something more subtle, immigration. Now, like we said, this was an unofficial webinar, but we know at least some racists have attended FACL classes in person. One's taught by Aaron Dorr.
At the same time, I still don't think you should have multiracial children.
This is Matt Forney. He's a blogger, professional troll, and key figure in the formation of the alt-right. And he writes a lot of racist, sexist garbage on the internet. After attending a FACL class in 2016, he wrote this on his blog.
Our instructor was Aaron Dorr, the founder of Iowa Gun Owners, which bills itself as Iowa's only no-compromise gun lobby. I can't write about the content of the class itself because FACL doesn't want leftists getting a hold of its secrets. Indeed, Dorr had us shut off our phones while he was lecturing. But suffice it to say that they have the goods when it comes to political operations.
Okay, there's one more quick lesson from confrontational politics. Something that didn't make sense when we first started watching the Doors and their friends. One day, they say politicians can't be trusted. They're the enemy. But the next day, you see Aaron Dorr or Patrick Parsons live streaming with a lawmaker.
Well, it turns out this paradox is built into the confrontational politics model. See, you gotta have at least one legislator on your side. Someone to introduce bills for you and make videos that show how hard you've been working in the state house. These people get a special label, champions.
So we can give you guys the chapter and verse on how many scuzzy politicians there are, but there's also some champions, some absolute champion lawmakers out there, and we're proud to be very good friends with the best lawmakers in a number of states, and I know we're going to have...
The Doors and their friends do this everywhere, and remember, they started a national group, the American Firearms Coalition. When we were first reporting this story in 2020, we noticed that the Dorr brothers found a champion who would trumpet their message on a national stage.
They found her right here in Georgia, where I'm based.
I'm running to stop gun control. Open borders. The Green New Deal. Socialism.
Back in the fall of 2020, when we released this podcast, Marjorie Taylor Greene was running for elected office. Her campaign ads sounded a lot like the Dorr brothers' live videos.
They destroyed the NFL, they're destroying NASCAR, they're burning our cities and destroying our history.
Which might be because, surprise, the Dorr brothers' partner, Patrick Parsons, worked closely with her campaign. Aaron's pitched in, too. Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up at events with dudes dressed in tactical gear and sporting 3% militia patches. Just weeks before the 2020 election, I caught up with her at a press conference and asked her about Patrick Parsons.
What's your relationship with Georgia Gun Owners and Patrick Parsons?
Oh, I'm a lifelong member of Georgia Gun Owners, and Patrick Parsons, he's been a good friend of mine.
I tried one more question about Patrick raising tens of thousands of dollars off a North Carolina Facebook page.
Thanks for coming.
Do you care about that?
Care about America. Care about freedom. Care about life.
Their campaign supporters surrounded us.
Care about our nation. Care about its people. Care about our history. Care about our heritage.
And of course, Greene won her election, and the No Compromise crew stayed close. Greene chose Patrick Parsons to be her chief of staff. But in September, Parsons left Greene's side. He told her he's off to cultivate more America First political candidates.
Here's the thing. In all our many hours of watching gun video after gun video, we've never seen the Dorr brothers or their partners tricked out in tactical gear and loaded for bear. That's not what they do. It's not their lane. They're the mouthpieces and administrators of a philosophy. They're policy nerds. They take chaotic current events and run the details through a particular framework. The tyrannical government is coming for your guns, for your rights, and your families.
This is a fight for our freedom. This is a fight for our life. This is no time to be super respectful and Mr. Nice Guy. We need to kill these people. Politically speaking, for the love of God, in case you're totally tone deaf right now, these people need to be destroyed.
When we first started reporting this story, we had no idea it would end up about anything other than just gun policy. But these loud, long Facebook videos about tyranny, took us to a lot of other issues. Dismantling public education, anti-vaxxers, the Aryan Nations, anti-abortion activism, homophobia, militias, well, militias maybe we figured, and, of course, downplaying the dangers of a pandemic.
Y'all see that? Oh, how wonderful! Wonderful. Defiance to tyranny is so alive and well in the great Keystone State.
We started at an anti-quarantine protest in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And we got to know the Doors.
But I know how many times in the last couple of days I've been asked by media outlets, well, don't you guys do guns? Like, what's your big deal on this coronavirus issue? Why don't you stay in your lane? And I have had so much enjoyment telling media outlets all across the country that, you know, our lane is freedom. We just don't give a dang.
Then some news. The virus found its way to the Door family. Northwest Iowa was facing a spike in COVID-19 cases, and the Door brothers' grandfather died. He was a farmer. Ben Door posted a heartfelt goodbye on Facebook. Didn't say what the cause was.
It was COVID. We talked to some other relatives who confirmed it. And there's more. They say the Door brothers' mom tested positive too. Had to go to the hospital. Their dad, Paul Door, also got the virus. Door family members tell us they got really sick. We're sorry to hear it. It's been a hard year for just about everyone.
No Compromise is hosted by Chris Haxel and Lisa Hagen, produced by Graham Smith and edited by Robert Little, and is a production of NPR, KCUR, WABE, and WAMU. To listen to all 6 episodes, and you should, go to npr.org or wherever you get your podcasts. On the Media's executive producer, Katya Rogers, edited this show. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone.